Action Postgame.
Let's go!
With Gord Stelic and Mark Savard. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Ristolainen again to Dahlin, 40 seconds left. Fireside Eichel fired it high and wide. Bounces to the line and out. Leafs going to get it. Pushed ahead by Hyman. Scores! Put it in the books. This one's over.
Yes, even Joe Bowen could breathe after that one. It's not been that way for Toronto Maple Leaf fans for a while, and the Maple Leafs and their fans had to hold their breath to a degree till that empty netter by Zach Hyman clinched it. A 4-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres, a game the Maple Leafs dominated by and large for almost all 60 minutes, 46-24. They outshoot the Buffalo Sabres. Finally, everyone can breathe. Garrett Sparks can breathe, will breathe on Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from many of the Leafs involved in tonight's game. We'll check in with Mike Babcock. That is always interesting. Chris Johnston will join us from there. We'll play back the gold calls. And we call it the walk to the subway, but for a lot of Leaf fans who had great seats and had a riot tonight, they're walking out to the arena there in KeyBank Center, and they'll either stay over or have a beverage or head home. Of course, the DD will be driving after a fun night. A quick one, Savvy. Did he get 20? Did Austin Matthews? I mean, this has been a wild night for you on social media, imploring Mike Babcock to get Austin Matthews up to the 20-minute mark after he just had a little over 4 minutes in the first period.
19:39, Gordy. Just didn't get that last beep on his beeper. We almost got him there. We tried everything, and it almost went through. But all in all, you know, those are good minutes for him. At least he's up there. Again, Mitch Marner at 22:30. So a couple guys ahead of him, but all in all, Matthews' game tonight, Gord, was pure dominance.
Yeah, it really was. It was a man amongst boys, and there were a lot of Leafs to play great. There were a lot of Leafs. This is a real great team effort. This was, and the Buffalo Sabres, not a very good team right now. They gave a bit of try at the end. You got to give them credit that way, but it just was a dominating Leaf team effort. It's funny, like when you look at the schedule, start of the season, and you're looking at different games. I kind of had this as a nondescript game late in the season, given what's gone on with the Maple Leafs of late. This was a hugely important game, and throw Garrett Sparks in net as well, given all the circumstances of late. And it really lived up to its billing. This was a great game to watch, a great game from a Leaf point of view.
It sure was, and I give Garrett Sparks a pass tonight, Gord, because he put himself on the hot seat, and you think that first goal, yeah, it wasn't great, but he made some saves. Held his team in there. He couldn't have that Nylander shot. That was a great shot, and that's Nylander's brother, so we're all clear. Alexander Nylander with his snipe, his second of his career. But all in all, I'd give Sparks a pass tonight, and like you said, the whole team showed up, and to your answer that you said in the second period, every guy ended up with a shot on net, every single guy.
Trevor Moore was lacking,
but
he got in the third.
He got one in the third.
Hey, just seeing on, of course, the game was on Sportsnet tonight, so John Tavares is tied for third in the NHL in goals. That's 41. Drysdale is 43. Ovi is 48. We'll check in later on the out-of-town scoreboard. He's playing tonight but hasn't scored yet. But that was another little milestone. So Tavares got to not celebrate his 40th in the loss to Ottawa so he can have a little bit more enjoyment. The fact it's the first Leaf to get 41 goals since Matt Sundin did back in 2002. So we're talking 17 years. And now John Tavares is third in the NHL in goals scored.
Special, special year. He came as advertised. He's done everything you can ask of him this year. And again, he chips in tonight with a goal and assist in 20 minutes of ice time. And if you look at the stat score, what's really glaring to me that I didn't pick up on, and usually I'm not bad at picking up on things.
But you're pretty emotional tonight.
I was emotional
the ice time
tonight
for Matthews, yeah.
But he went to four defensemen all night. If you look at it, look at Justin Hall at 7:45 and Igor Oshiganov at 8:45. The rest of the D were 25 for Riley, 25-25, 24-21 Hainsey, Muzzin 24-13, and even Nikita Zaitsev at 23-41.
Well, you were so obsessed about the fourth line getting ice time ahead of Austin Matthews that the D, he decided that he would cut back to four, but he kept rolling the four lines by and large. And Garrett Sparks, because we'll go over the goals later on, but it was that classic kind of Leafs dominating, and then wouldn't you know, Buffalo gets the first goal, and first save. He'd stopped a shorthanded breakaway, already Sparks had, so his first save was a big one, but it was one of those out of position goals, and you started going, oh, this could really go south.
Well, I don't know if it's just me, you, and Sam McKee. I'm interested to ask Chris Johnson that in the third period, every shot seems to be an adventure, and we're making noises.
A lot of wincing.
A lot of wincing, and I know that the players on the bench feel the same way. As we saw late in that game, they were trying to block a lot of shots. They only end up with 10 on the night. I'd test that theory and watch the game over. There was more than 10 block shots tonight.
And Jim Ralph was talking about just, you know, with Garrett Sparks' comments the other day, they're not terrible. And we in the media like guys to be forthcoming. It just was something not well received by Babcock, you could tell. And, you know, he'd kind of put some pressure on his place. You liked my analogy at the start of the game, right? Leafs Nation pregame about the rodeo clown.
Oh, that was my favorite of the year.
Because, yeah, just saying that here everyone's talking about Babcock or Dubas. But, you know, when you're in a rodeo and you're riding the bull and your legs get caught in it, they got that rodeo clown that comes out there and distracts the bull and you get
Garrett
off safely.
Sparks is a rodeo
clown. Garrett
Sparks,
by the diversion he did the other night, everyone's going, hey, what's going on with Doobie and Babs? They're not like, hey, what the hell did Garrett Sparks say anyway? Right. He did the rodeo clown thing. It was a little bit of a diversion that way that went on for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Well, I'll tell you what we do. We will enjoy the walk, the safe drive home. I know we'll have a lot of Leaf fans listening to us on Leafs Nation postgame, so we welcome you for the opportunity for maybe a little bit longer than you normally do. But boy, oh boy, we felt bad for guys like Vic Palatin, who works here, went to Ottawa on Saturday. It was like 75% Leaf fans there, and they saw a real clunker. It was a dandy tonight to be a Maple Leaf fan in Buffalo. That building must have rocked, so we'll look forward to hearing more about that when we come back. 4-2. The Toronto Maple Leafs defeat the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Welcome back. Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. A big 4-2 win in Buffalo over the Buffalo Sabres. A dominant performance in many ways by the Maple Leafs. 46-24, they dominated the Buffalo Sabres. Got to say the third period, though, Savvy. You look at shots on goal, 9-8 for Buffalo. So different kind of period and a big chunk of time Leafs holding on to a 3-2 lead. So that was the one time when the Sabres evened the play for a while. And like we said, there was a little bit too much action around Garrett Sparks for our liking.
Yes, plenty of action around Garrett Sparks late in the game. And Mike Babcock tried to slide his fourth line in a couple times late, and they had some good opportunities, that being the Buffalo Sabres. So maybe that's something they look at. But anyways, a big, big win, Gord. A good thing. And it's going to get this team headed in the right direction, hopefully towards the playoffs.
Yeah, this ended up, I don't like just saying must-win games, but and you heard even Jim Ralph saying it then. You know what? Now you can stop worrying about Montreal and just the other ones in a wild card spot in the last game of the season's against Montreal. Because if you get in a prolonged losing streak, this saying, oh, they're home and cooled out for the playoffs. Well, they're home and cooled out barring an absurd losing streak, which tonight would have put it one step closer to that. So you heard Joe Bowen with that empty net goal by Zach Hyman. So the excitement there in Buffalo, being a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. So let's hear Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph, at their best. The goals tonight, if you didn't catch them, and if you caught them, you want to hear them again. The Toronto Maple Leafs dominating the first period. What, Tavares could have scored, Kapanen could have scored twice, Matthew, you name it. And good on Carter Hutton, playing phenomenal in goal for the Buffalo Sabres. Maple Leafs don't capitalize on a power play opportunity. They actually had two of them, their first power play opportunity. But here's Buffalo on the power play for the first time late in the first period.
Wrapped around the boards by Skinner. Comes to Eichel at the right boards, to the half wall, into the corner. A pass goes off a stick, but comes to Skinner. Knocked off his stick. Played back along the boards for Eichel. Back to the point it goes for Dahlin. Now to Eichel. Closing in, doesn't shoot it. Back to Dahlin. Middle of the ice. A pass in is deflected wide. Rebound scores!
Casey Mittelstadt is 11th from Dahlin and Eichel on the power play at the 15:04 mark.
Yeah, one of these moments in the game, Gord, that we were all a little ticked off about, because the Leafs come out and totally dominate early, and Buffalo gets a power play, nothing really going on or transpiring, and then late in the power play, they get caught a little bit, and I don't know where Garrett Sparks was headed on this one. I think he was going out to the D to block the shot, and he got caught out a little far out of his net, and Mittelstadt caught the rebound and was able to put it in for his first. But the Leafs stayed with it, Gord, and they built off of last night's game in Nashville, and they took control of this game once again.
Well, yeah, and Garrett Sparks will to a degree, but at that point, it's not exactly what you want. The period ends 1-0 Buffalo. The Leafs have outshot the Buffalo Sabres 19-7, but are behind 1-0. But as you mentioned, just keep doing more of the same. Well, they did that in the second period, and it didn't take long. The 1:43 mark in the second.
Morgan Riley plays it up the middle. Here's a chance now for the Leafs in over the line with Matthews trying to close him with a backhand. And Johnsen had his stick lifted just at the last second. Played along the boards now by Montour. Now the shot stopped there by the goaltender. Cuts in front, they score! It goes off, a skated in! Game tied! 1-1!
Well, while you were tweeting away furiously at MSavvy91 about Austin Matthews' lack of ice time in the first period, at the 1:43 mark, it is Austin Matthews that goes off of his 35th from Johnsen and Muzzin.
Yes, Austin Matthews, like we talked about, he was big cactus tonight all over the ice, Gord. He had a clinic going on, and I think every time he was on the ice, he had the puck most of his 19 minutes and 30-some seconds of work tonight, 39 seconds to be exact, his 35th of the year, and a lucky one. But you get rewarded when you're playing hard, and he did on that one off his skate and in 1-1.
Yeah, it seemed to be a calm after that, and the Leafs just continued to dominate that period, but they would not have success till late in the period, and probably the guy that's been snake-bitten the most of late gets credit for this goal.
Johnsen breaking with a pass to find Nylander. He's across the line, in for Matthews. Matthews, sharp angle, makes a move back of the net, still with it, back to Nylander. Nylander coming out in front, doesn't shoot it. Still with it, though. Works back into the slot. Nylander right in down the line. Hit the goal post. They score! Holy mackerel! At least take the lead!
Yeah, a line you had not heard for a while. Just briefly, when they played the Philadelphia Flyers, the Leafs take the lead. 18:32 mark. John Tavares is 41st from Nylander and Matthews.
Again, Matthews doing most of the work, getting the zone here, and then William Nylander keeps his feet moving. The William Nylander we all have known to come and love gets flying around in the zone here, Gord, and takes one of his patented little snappers off the bar, and Johnny Tavares on the spot for us. 41st of the year to make it 2-1, and like you said, the third top goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now.
Yep, number three after Ovechkin at 48 and Draisaitl at 43. The period ends. The Leafs have the lead, 2-1, and they outshot Buffalo 19-8. After outshooting Buffalo 19-7 in the first period, they outshoot Buffalo 19-8 in the second. They're up 2-1. Can they get that insurance marker? It comes quite quickly.
Played around down into the Buffalo zone. They defend the goal to the left. Leafs lead 2-1 on goals from Matthews and Tavares. Here's Marner coming in front with a shot. Scores! Mitchell Marner! Grand Marnier! And it's 3-1 Toronto.
Yeah, I think Joe Bowen was sipping some of that, or maybe smuggling some of it back through customs on the way coming back. A little Grand Marnier. Mitch Marner is 25th. From Tavares at the 22-second mark of the third period.
Yeah, kind of a lucky break here. But again, Gord, when you're working like the Leafs did tonight, you're going to catch some breaks. And right there, John Tavares with a great cycle along the boards. Marner jumps to the middle, takes the shot, and they get a bit of a bounce off Ritsalainen's skate. And it just eludes Carter Hutton here, and it gives them a 3-1 lead. And basically, the third period was a little nerve-wracking if you're a Leafs fan for everybody involved. Every shot, we dipped and dived in that room thinking we might get a piece of it to help Garrett Sparks out.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about a play in a few minutes later that helped make that happen as well. But you look, the three Leaf goals then at that point, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, kind of the three guys you likely would pick to get three goals if you had to. And all these great chances, all these phenomenal plays, some phenomenal saves, and really all three of them, not garbage goals, but not classics, but they all count, right? Just keep, you know, keep traffic, keep the puck of the net, and let it go in on maybe non-highlight reel ways. They all count.
Well, I would guarantee you after this, Mike Babcock's post-game presser, he will say, when you work hard, good things will happen. He might even say it exactly how I said it. because I know the Mike Babcock that loves hard work and he thinks hard work deserves to get rewarded, and it did tonight.
Well, we'll hear from him in a few minutes' time. But meanwhile, like you said, okay, breathe a bit. You've got the two-goal lead. Well, not too long.
Brought back in by Alex Nylander. He mishandles the puck, and it goes down into the corner harmlessly. Sabres again out in front for Nylander. Scores! That looked like his brother there. He got a hold of that one, and just off the post and in.
Yeah, and that is at the 5:37 mark, so not all that much later that we talk about Willie Nylander playing well. Alexander Nylander just called up from Rochester. It's his first of the season. He has one other goal, so second career goal from Sobotka and Bogosian at the 5:37 mark.
Literally, we just finished talking about how Alexander Nylander's mannerisms were so much like Willie's. They look like the same player. I think Alex is a little taller, if you ask me, but again, great for him. Good snipe. Good shot. That's one you can't blame Garrett Sparks on. That was just a nicely played shot. And Mitch Marner tried to jump in front of it, but he was unsuccessful in doing so. And it was a 3-2 hockey game.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing then. Here's the rub. So it's 3-2. The fans are 3-1 at one point. Now it's 3-2. The Leaf fans have just been, and they had front row seats. They were by the Sabres bench. They were wearing helmets of all different kind of models and modes. It was just, it would be so much fun to be a Leaf fan down there. So now the Leaf team that registered 19 shots on goal in both the first and second periods. Yeah, not the same. It's a close third period, and we're doing the wince that, you know, Garrett Sparks, I'm sorry, not taking anything away from him because at the end of the day, he had a solid game, but just his style is not that smooth, unflappable style of Freddie Anderson. And having seen the first goal of the game being one where just kind of he ventured and kind of lost his bearings, you saw a couple of almost moments like that too.
Yeah, you did, and it's tough to watch at times. I know the Leafs team feels the same way we do, Gord, and it's something that I guess they're just got to play through and try and do the best job they can with whoever's in the net, and that being Garrett Sparks. But anyways, at the end of the day, huge win. You got to be excited if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf. Two good games in a row. I know you didn't win in Nashville the other night, but you built off it and you played Buffalo. And now you seem to run into a couple teams, the Rangers,
Florida,
teams on the outside that don't even have a chance of looking in. So you should be able to get on a bit of a roll here, Gord.
Yeah, you're just taking a look since you mentioned that. It's you talk about non-playoff teams, so you'll have New York Rangers visiting on Saturday. They've lost 11 out of the last 12. Florida visiting on Monday. They're out of the playoffs. Philadelphia, you're there on Wednesday. You've eliminated them, basically. And then you're at Ottawa and a chance to redeem yourself for the clunker 2 weeks earlier. Last week of the season, you have some teams in the playoffs. But that's the schedule coming up ahead. And I'll tell you what, we played it coming in, but Joe Bowen loves these kind of calls that cement the game. So one more goal to go for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's the empty netter.
Ristolainen again to Dahlin, 40 seconds left. Farside Aiko fired it high and wide. Bounces to the line and out. Leafs going to get it. Pushed ahead by Hyman. Scores! Put it in the books. This one's over.
Don't call Sokolov. Call Hyman with the insurance marker, Gord.
Well, Zach Hyman likes the end. Maybe he got a deal from Sokolov. He gets to go out there when the net's empty because he scored 18 goals, a lot of them empty netters. But he's one of the guys you want out there at the end of the game, and that's why the unassisted goal at the 19:27 mark. And Joe Bowen able to relax and enjoy all that happened in the game tonight. Shots on goal in the third period. Like we said, we're close. It was, 9-8 for the Buffalo Sabres. Leafs outshoot Buffalo 46-24. But more importantly, a 4-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by the GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Chris Johnston joining us from Buffalo Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. You're in a lot of arenas where there's a lot of Leaf fans, but there were some great ones tonight. They had great seats all over the building. They were, I don't know, so many were wearing old throwback helmets. It must have been a ball if you were a Toronto Maple Leaf fan tonight, Chris.
Yeah, it was a legit home game on the road for the Leafs. I mean, the Sabres got booed when they came out before the game, and not just by a small group of people. I think a noticeable amount of Leaf fans. I mean, there's always a ton here, but I think given the way the season's gone, it seems to me this year, I mean, I there's no way for me to measure it, but that Leaf fans are traveling even more than in the past, probably the excitement of the team and how hard the ticket is and how expensive the ticket is at home. And so, you know, they took over the building tonight, and I thought the Leafs gave them a great effort, gave them a lot to cheer about, even though the score was close. The way the play went was certainly not.
Please talk about your boy. We're going to let you talk about Big Cactus, Austin Matthews. Pure dominance tonight.
Did you see Savvy tweeting during the game? Like he was beside himself when Big Cactus got only 4+ minutes in the first period.
Yeah, must have hurt Savvy to have to admit that one, I guess. But you know, it's hard to argue. I mean, Austin, I think the last week or two, even though the team's had some struggles, you know, I think he's taken his game to another level, and you know, especially tonight. I mean, you saw it basically any way you're measuring it. If it's just goals when he's on the ice, shot attempts, you know, him and his line mates. I think obviously being reunited with William Nylander and with Andreas Janssen, that's been a good thing for the Leafs. I don't see that changing anytime soon, unless injury somewhere else in the lineup necessitates it. But you know, he had a ton of offensive zone time and dominant shifts and lots of chances to score. It's funny that the one goal that goes in was a bit of a fluke, one where he didn't see the pass come in, hit his skate, and went in. But, you know, I think it's an encouraging sign for the Leafs as we're forever looking ahead to what the playoffs bring if Austin is able to play anything like the way, you know, I think he's been the last few games in that series with Boston. Because obviously one of the things last year in the playoffs is he got the main shutdown pairing from the Bruins, and they did a pretty good job of neutralizing him and his line mates in that series. So, you know, if he can have a better first round this year, and then you add Tavares and his line with Marner, I mean, I do think the Leafs, as good as the Bruins have been, have a chance to match up in that kind of series if all their big guns are rolling.
Garrett Sparks lets in a bit of a soft one on the first one, but I give him a pass tonight, especially after he put himself in the hot seat. Would you agree with me?
I would. You know, he's had a really tough run. That's his first victory since February 2nd tonight. He let in all six, obviously, on Saturday against the Senators. You know, I don't get the sense that Garrett's too happy with his first year in the NHL, that there's been some lows there, more than he would have hoped. And so given that he came out and, you know, kind of called out his team in a small way, you know, he put himself in there too. But you know, you don't expect that from the backup goalie. I think that it was imperative that he at least be serviceable tonight, and that he was. I mean, he made a nice save on a shorthanded breakaway early on Johan Larsson. As you say, the first goal, he was sliding out of position, hits his blocker, and goes in. It's one you really don't want to see get in the net. But, you know, I thought he was pretty good in the third. The Sabres did get a few opportunities with their goalie out 6-on-5 to tie the game, and, you know, he didn't let that next goal happen.
Yeah, you know, like you say, it's almost a tough one in a lot of ways. Just to Portman in the third period, he kind of has you uneasy. I don't know if you feel the same way, maybe because we're used to Freddie, and I'm not trying to be unfair to Garrett Sparks, but especially that first goal when he did overplay it, he did that in the Ottawa game once or twice as well. There just is more of a calmness when Freddie's on board. The game got a little bit too close when it was 3-2 for Leaf fans' liking, and the Sabres taking all kinds of shots. Savvy and I were saying, I mean, Leafs were going to great efforts to try to block shots as well.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, I think for Garrett, bigger picture, I mean, the challenge for him is to try to get a little bit more quiet in his game. I mean, there's times he looks like a tornado in the crease, and that's not the way the position's played by the best of the best these days. And you know, it's I don't know if he'll get it. I'm certainly not a goaltending expert, but you can see it. He's pretty aggressive on plays. I think of the fifth goal in Ottawa, you know, again, he'd slid almost into the corner and was a pretty easy goal for the Senators. And at that point, the Leafs had got it back to 4-2 and were maybe thinking about trying to come back in that game. And that kind of ended the comeback cold. So, you know, he's not all the way there, but it is his first full year. And we'll see what, you know, how he grows through these experiences. You know, I don't think he's always been as bad as maybe, you know, some have said, but definitely the last little stretch, I think, has been tough on him. You know, he had, you know, some better performances early in the season, and, you know, he's acknowledged that. So, you know, Leafs got him signed now next year to a pretty cheap deal. And to my eyes, it doesn't mean they won't bring in, you know, another goaltender either to challenge him in camp or perhaps to plant him. I mean, he's still got to fight for his position, but, you know, I think that there's something to build off of in this game. And, you know, I would think with, you know, where the Leafs are in the standings, that we're going to see a couple more spark starts. Obviously, there's one more back-to-back, so you pencil in them there. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he got the last game of the season in Montreal to give Freddie a little bit of a prolonged rest prior to the opening of the series with Boston, and maybe even one other start in there. So, you know, I would think he's probably got 2 to 3 more games anyway this season. And, you know, for him, I think it's all about just trying to end the year on a high note because obviously we don't expect to see him in the playoffs unless something bad happens.
I had this down as a must win tonight, and I'll tell you why. And I had to sell Gord on it early. He questioned me about it, but
I question you about a lot of things.
You do. And yeah. They got Buffalo. They beat Buffalo tonight, Chris. They got New York Rangers, the Florida Panthers, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Ottawa Senators in their next four. It's time to get on a run for this team. There's not a better opportunity than playing against these lower standing teams.
I'm with you. And it's funny, Austin Matthews said after the game that they had internally were calling it a must win. So, Savvy, you're spot on with where the team's mindset was at for this game. And, you know, I think that they're pretty fine, but I mean, you don't want to be limping into the playoffs. You don't want to just get in. You know, I think that, stringing together some wins will help the confidence. You know, it's one thing Mitch Marner actually noted is that he thinks a lot of the problems last week were confidence related. He said the team was kind of down on itself and that they feel pretty good after these two games, just with the way they were able to limit Nashville, even though they lost last night and, you know, didn't generate a lot offensively. Tonight was clearly a step forward where they didn't give up a ton either, but were generating a lot more dangerous chances and probably would have been a more one-sided game had Carter Hutton had such a good night in the Buffalo net. But, you know, they feel as though they've taken a step forward, I guess, from what was a really disastrous, difficult week last week. And, you know, they still got enough games here and I think enough opponents where they should be able to do what they did tonight. You know, opponents that they overmatch, you know, where they should be able to build, get on a bit of a roll and build some of that confidence before the big games arrive.
For Leafs fans out there, have you heard anything about Dermott and Gardner and their return? Is it imminent? Are they close or are they looking more playoff starting?
Well, Dermott's definitely ahead of Gardner. And I would say at this point, he's likely to play before the playoffs arrive. You know, I think that they're targeting somewhere in the first week of April to get Dermott back, but he's been skating. He didn't come on the road for these back-to-back games Tuesday, Wednesday, but you know, there's certainly a lot more optimism with where he's at. You know, I've seen him skating a couple times. The one day looked a little ginger, just, you know, coming back from that shoulder injury, obviously. You know, it's tough if your shoulder's still popping it out of the socket a bit. You know, you got to get some tightness back there. But, you know, then a few days later, he looked a lot more comfortable out there. So, you know, I do think if everything continues on the path it's going, we'll see him sooner than later back with the Leafs. You know, as for Jake Gardner, I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. I mean, there's an air of mystery about where he's at. But what I can tell you is that, you know, I still not believe to have skated since he last played. I believe it was February 25th, his last game. And you know, with how close the playoffs are now getting, it's a difficult time. It's difficult to imagine him being ready before the playoffs. And you know, if you're a Leafs fan or part of the organization, all you can hope is that the rest is treating him well. And you know, he'll be able to get back here because, you know, clearly they're a better team with him in the lineup than what we've seen without him.
Chris Johnston joining us, 4-2 win for the Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. And just Savvy brings that up because one thing is the obsession of making sure Austin Matthews ice time got up to the appropriate levels. Very quietly, you realize that Mike Babcock only played 4D basically. Like, you know, he rolled four lines, but boy, oh boy, a real sign of lack of confidence that he played four guys hard and the fifth and sixth had considerably less minutes.
Well, for sure. And then, you know, looking, I didn't look at it closely tonight, but last night, basically he had Morgan Rielly or Ron Hainsey out with either Ozdaganov or Justin Hall. You know, essentially those guys played together and each played with a different partner to mix in the fifth and sixth. It seemed like he was doing that again tonight. And, you know, it's a lack of confidence. Obviously, it's a close game. You know, I don't think that you want to, when you're in a one goal game, the way they were most of the night, I don't think you want that pairing out potentially for a goal that ties it. And so, you know, they're managing the situation as best they can. You know, Kelly Rosen, I know, is getting closer. And I would think if he's able to play a couple games with the Marlies or one game, you know, we might see him come up. And, you know, you have to hope that Dermott's recovery keeps going in a positive direction. He comes back too. But, You know, the Leafs are far from the only team that have to contend with injuries. They've had, by and large, a pretty healthy season again. And, you know, right now they're patching it together on the blue line and hoping for healthier days prior to the start of the playoffs.
Chris, safe drive home. I know you'll be part of the Hockey Night in Canada crew on Saturday, so we'll catch hockey headlines then as well. Thanks very much, as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Talk soon.
Take care, buddy.
Chris Johnston, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. A 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Mark Savard. This one's going to be a tough one for you tonight. The Leafs really brought it. They really brought it tonight. I'm trying to think, who did you? It's been tough the last few games, the hardest working Leaf. We've got our hardest working Leaf brought to you by Direct Energy Business, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And you have to pick our Direct Energy hardest working Leaf player of the game.
Well, like you said, it's going to be tough because there's a lot of guys that stepped up tonight, but we're going to come back. I'm going to throw one right back at you after the Direct Energy hardest working.
Okay, I'm ready.
Leaf, and I'm going with Austin Matthews tonight. Obviously, domination. Gord, every time he's on the ice, it seemed he had the puck. 19:39 of ice time. One goal, one assist, 2 points, plus two, 7 shots, 3 attempted shots, 2 missed shots, 1 hit, 1 giveaway, 2 takeaways, 1 block shot, and 5 for 6 in the faceoff circle. And he's my Direct Energy hardest working Leaf. And who is your, not Pierre Maguire's monster, but Stellick stud?
Oh, Stellick stud. Well, you know, I'll pick someone different because you can't argue with Austin Matthews.
No.
Okay. You can't argue, you know, and I like the fact that Kasperi Kapanen had so many shots and creative things earlier on, but you know what? The stud really is, and he's not a studly looking guy, but John Tavares, okay. 19 minutes, 57 seconds, a goal and assist, 2 points plus 2, 6 shots on net. And he gets that 41st goal. He's third now in the NHL in goals scored behind Ovi at 48 and Draisaitl at 43. And you don't think of him as a stud. You kind of think of him as the young guy watching with his dad, you know, the Rogers commercial, the 93 playoffs with the Leafs. Oh. And then he's got the great mattress commercial, which, man, I'd love to be able to just sleep there. Wouldn't you like to do our post-game show and just go
right
lie on center ice?
Center ice on a mattress.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We need a king size, though. A double king.
We need Olympic size arena, I think, is what we need. But anyway, that would be nice to do. But I would. I didn't know we have a Studley sponsor yet, but I'm sure you'll
Mark
find
Savard's
one.
Mark Savard's Taping Twigs.
Yes.
Stellick Stud.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
My free sponsor. Like, I'm getting sponsorship just okay. by doing it myself. There we go.
Well, and just to, by the way, every single Maple Leaf player had a shot on goal of the 46. 24.
Did your statistician say that's what's probably happened this year, I'd imagine?
I think it's happened maybe just once before.
Okay.
Kasperi Kapanen also had 7 shots on net. Ron Hainsey had 4 shots on net. By the way, 3 shots on net for William Nylander. Good game by him. I know when they came back, I mean, of course, we listened to the game on radio, but the game was on Sportsnet tonight. And when they came back late in the game, because so much is being talked about leadership and that, and Greg Milne made a comment because he was between the benches about, you know, Greg encapsulating all the excitement in the waning moments, what was going on. But he said Ron Hainsey was a guy that was kind of taking charge during a time out there. You know, that's where it's kind of a leadership group, different guys going. And I really find there is a neat passion with Ron Hainsey. And I always remember one of Travis Dermott's first games a couple of years ago when he got called up the middle of the season. And you saw, like, there'd be a face-off or something. And Hainsey would take the extra 10 seconds to double make sure that Travis Dermott knew what he was doing. Not trying to show the guy up or anything like that, but just that kind of thing. And so apparently he did that tonight. I can see that in Ron Hainsey.
It goes a long way, Gord. It really helps the newer guy feel more comfortable quicker. It's like anything. Like when I walked on the set the first day, you walked me through things and I felt better. And same thing on the ice with Ron Hainsey right now. He's directing traffic. He's helping the young guys out and he's won. And you know what? He's had a great season.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, we were hard on him the first 10 games thinking that maybe he's almost at the end of his career. He's proved us and all of Leafs Nation wrong. And another plus two tonight to add to his plus whatever he's at, but he's got to be up there still top three in the league, if not leading the league.
Yeah, he was plus two tonight as well. He had a few minuses along the way. He was leading by a good margin. We'll just got to wait for the games tonight to finish, but we'll check that out a little bit later on. But good on Ron Hainsey that way. And it's funny, you know, Savvy just... Yeah, like someone was busting you about how can you be a Bruin fan and Toronto fan, and you mentioned, wait a sec, I played for the Bruins. I got a, you know, passion for that. I grew up a Maple. I shouldn't speak for you, but you grew up a Maple Leaf fan, and it's obvious about that and different things. And so you can see both sides of it, but because that series last year, all of a sudden, Jake Gardner, that minus five, has killed him. And unfortunately, in fans' eyes, which I find unfortunate, it became apparent to everyone that Ron Hainsey played too many minutes. So the start of this year wasn't his fault. He played too many minutes, but sure, it would be ideal if he played fewer. Well, here, guess what? We're back again because of injuries, and he's playing really well. And he's playing lots of minutes.
Playing really well. I mean, he's played 50 minutes, really, in the last two games. 25 each night, basically, one national and back-to-back nights. And he looked strong all night tonight. So hopefully, as the season wears on and they start getting some guys back, we can trim those back. But he's still, he's going to be a 20-minute guy moving forward, I think, in the playoffs, playing alongside undoubtedly their best defenseman all year and one of the best in the league, Morgan Rielly.
I did see a new look from Ron Hainsey tonight on one play. How about the one, it could have been 30 minutes that drastically could have changed the Maple Leaf season. Andreas Janssen really got run, left the bench for a little, who hit him? Was it Mittelstadt? I'm trying to remember, but anyway, just got him.
No, number eight hit him. It was, we say Casey Nelson hit him.
That's it, Casey Nelson hit him.
Yeah.
So he goes in, and he was in a lot of pain. He actually went to the dressing room briefly, came back, which was good news. 30 seconds later, Hainsey clearing it out and gets... Joe Bowen loves the call right in the bugle. Austin Matthews. You can see Haynes go, oh, crap, you got to be kidding me. The last, you don't want to hit any of your teammates in the face inadvertently with the puck, but it was Austin Matthews, and he was bleeding a little bit, went to the bench, came back. I think he missed maybe one shift, but in a 30-second span, you see how precarious and how injuries can come into play. We've seen him on the D for the Maple Leafs. So fortunately, both guys came back and played. Just like last night, Victor Arvidsson taking that shot and being down for the Nashville Predators. That would have been a huge loss. And, you know, he took a PK Subban shot. The friendly fire is very dangerous, but he maybe missed one shift, but was back out there.
And don't kid yourself. It's that time of year, right, Gord? You got nine games left. You're going to play hard and you want to win, but every little injury now moving forward is going to hurt you big time. And especially had it been Austin Matthews, who took it right in the bugle, like you said. And we talked about it too. I've taken one there too off from a teammate. And I ended up getting 30 stitches in my chin on a dumping. He was dumping it in and he hit me right in the chin. And it was chin music, to say the least. I was in there getting some zippers. It was not fun. And he felt real, real shame.
Yeah. And when you should, you know, when you say take it on the chin, that's not exactly what you meant. So that's good. And you're still a beautiful looking man
right now.
Thank you, buddy. Healed, or maybe just the beard covers it. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, it all looks good that way. Well, it was a must-win game. That's the way it was playing out. And if that, in fact, was a must-win game, the Toronto Maple Leafs won it 4-2 over the Buffalo Sabres. They get a bit of a break now. A softer part of the schedule as far as a whack of non-playoff teams, beginning with tonight's game with the Buffalo Sabres. And whatever it was, Mike Babcock was rather quick. He didn't speak all that long. So here he is after the 4-2 win.
What you like about your team tonight after a tough night last night, energy-wise, and all that went with that?
Well, I thought we played real well last night and weren't rewarded in the end, and I thought we played real well here tonight and were rewarded. So, you know, I like that we played hard and did things well and stuck together and played the right way.
Coach, in terms of puck possession, is that about as dominant a game as you've seen Austin play?
Well, I thought he was real good. I thought we had lots of good players tonight, though. I thought Janssen played a real strong game with that line, too. I thought Willie was good. So, you know, we had lots of good players tonight, and we had guys jumping right from the get-go. Obviously, it's an important win for us. You want to get back on track. It hadn't gone as good here this last while as we'd like to, and go from there.
What kind of separates Austin when he's on like that?
Well, I just thought he skated, and he was real determined, and real good defensively, real good offensively. And in the end, I thought it was a real positive thing.
Yeah, just kind of, what do you want to say? Feel good for Mike Babcock? Nothing.
He's got a little bit of a cold, Gord. He's stuffed up.
Is that it?
He's got to get home.
Okay. Well, they'll get home soon. That's it. Get a little Vicks Vapor Rub from Savvy and whatever else Savvy takes. He will.
Steamer.
Yeah.
Steamers.
Well, he said earlier about William Nylander being a little bit under the weather. A lot of guys are under the weather. I know you were in Lethbridge and that, but you brought your A game tonight, and the Toronto Maple Leafs did that as well. Saturday, we will have an original six battle. The New York Rangers not battling much of late. They've lost 11 of their last 12. They'll be at Scotiabank Arena. We will be on 6:30 p.m. with Leafs Nation pregame. Then we'll have coverage of the Leafs and the New York Rangers on Saturday. 4-2, the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelec, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelec, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. A 4-2 win, much needed win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. That's a tough year in Buffalo. Like you know, tonight the team Sabres going out there and it's a road crowd in their own building.
I'd love to know at one point this season how many games above 500 Buffalo was, because it had to be a big margin at some point, Gord, where they had their 10 straight wins. They had to be up above 500, and now they're below by a couple games. And I feel sorry for that fan base. They got so excited. I can remember them tweeting through that 10-game thing and just reading stuff on, it's so nice to have hockey back in Buffalo. And then now they're just like, can we try and get that first overall pick again?
Well, I believe, Savvy, they were first in the Eastern Conference at one point, because Tampa Bay started a little bit on, not Tampa Bay has never been slow, but they really got on a tear at that point. So when they were winning those 10 games, they were certainly first in the division, maybe first in the conference, certainly first in the division, because keep in mind, they did it early. So you get 10 wins in November, like you're killing, right? On top of whatever you did early on. So I
would not question that brain of yours. You know that.
Well, I appreciate that. I got a big head. There's a lot in it. Yeah.
I didn't say that. I just said that's a big brain.
So a tough one. Jack Eichel having a good season. And you mentioned, you know, Jason Botterill as well. And that's the thing. You gotta put the white noise away about the fans' wrath, because they're really pissed off because you had such a great start. You're better off not having that great start. They readjusted their expectations. So you got
to
put
that. Do you think Phil Housley makes it to another year?
That one I don't know.
I like Phil. I played with him in Calgary, and I wish him nothing but the best. But it's going to be tough for him to start again, I think. I think with all the good coaches out there,
yeah,
you can't wait around, right? I don't think you can wait around.
Well, I got to think Joel Quenneville is going to land somewhere.
Wherever he wants.
Yeah, I got to think he has one more kick at it somewhere. Yeah. So, my good buddy Bruce Boudreau, I don't know if he has one more kick at it or not. He's still with the Minnesota Wild, just that, you know, Paul Fenton brought in Dean Evason as his assistant. So that's kind of looks like an heir apparent there. But it'll be interesting. We'll see. Because I followed the Buffalo Sabres, French Connection line, all that stuff. That we got a lot of Buffalo games here. So I've always liked that team. Out-of-town scoreboard, a couple of late starts. But what a dandy. 5-4 overtime. The Tampa Bay Lightning over the Washington Capitals. Victor Hedman scores at the 3:01 mark of overtime after Evgeny Kuznetsov tied it with less than a minute left.
Unbelievable there, and a tough one for Washington, losing back-to-back to Tampa. But look at the shots on goal in that one, Gord. Look at your boy Vasilevskiy. 58 shots on him tonight. 54 saves.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and Braden Holtby only had 28 against him. So Washington dominated this game, to say the Leafs. The least, but Vasilevskiy again, Gord. We saw him stand on his head against the Leafs earlier this year. And again, 54 saves on 58 shots. Spectacular.
Unbelievable. And there's a guy that could win the Vezina Trophy as well. Tampa Bay could take a lot of silverware, that's for sure, as far as individual awards. Vancouver up 1-0 over Ottawa. Let's face it. These are Bo Horvat gets his 26. That's a nice season he is having. These are two teams that are really, you know, just playing out the string that way. The Winnipeg Jets in Anaheim tonight, and there's a have and a have not. The Jets being a have and the Ducks being a have not. That's no score in the first period of play.
Yeah. You know what? Not a meaningless game for the Ducks again. Vancouver's up 1-0. Pedersen getting in a helper on that one. He's going to look like he's headed for a rookie of the year. But again, two games that I won't be catching when I go home.
No, a little bit different. There were a lot of great games last night. There'll be a lot tomorrow. There were 10 games last night and a lot of real compelling games going on, but not so much the case right now. We look at tonight's game as well, and we talk about the balance of the Toronto Maple Leaf attack and all that went at the Buffalo Sabres. Again, let's not get picky, because they did win 4-2. They played a great team game. They came. They gave it as a team. We both remain surprised at Tyler Ennis' healthy scratch consecutive games. I normally say we talk too much about the, you know, the 13th forward and the 7th defenseman, and I believe that. But I just find a little curious, because I thought he played in Buffalo before, and I thought he'd really made an impression. I thought Mike Babcock liked him too. Maybe Mike Babcock still does. He just likes other people better.
I'm finding that one tough, Gord. I can't put a finger on that one. I mean, Connor Brown is working himself out of the lineup, I would think. And even Patrick Marleau, and I know he makes $6 million, but can Ennis not do as good a job, if not a little better than those two guys with his speed and his tenacity and his goal-scoring ability?
Well, the other part, big picture, Patrick Marleau's $6.5 million contract, there is a way it could get moved, and there is a feeling that could be the way because his family really embraced living up here in Toronto, but they haven't this year. They put the house up for sale a few months ago because, I mean, let's face it, she's from San Jose. The team, the kids grew up there. That's where they're going to settle. And he's got a $5.5 million cash next year, but $4 million of it's a bonus on July 1st. So after July 1st, it's just $1.5 million in actual coin and either 6.25 or 6.5 million cap hit. So there are those teams that Arizona, Carolina, Florida right now that need the Chris Pronger.
Ottawa, Marian, yeah. Ottawa will be a team too.
Yeah, it could be. Need those, the Marian Hossa type contract that gets traded.
But does he have a no trade clause?
He has a no trade clause as well.
Yeah, so that'll be a tough one too.
Well, not he'd have to go along with it, but I think it might be something he'd look at.
Is there a go home clause?
Well, that would be the go home thing. That basically the team
get your four at July 1st, and then go home.
Well, then go, but you know, we still play it out. But the other team maybe pays them the 1.5, but uses the 6.5 on the cap.
Like I'm saying, go home.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
go home and swim and enjoy your life because you've had a great career.
He's had a great career, but I'm saying you still got the fact about that. Anyway, it's doable. And Connor Brown, some people are wondering at, I think it's 2.33. He's making that, you know, maybe that's too big. Maybe that's, you know, the Tyler Ennis's, the Trevor Moore's take his spot. Again, that's for down the road because they are going to have some cap issues that way.
Yes, for sure. And you know what? At Connor Brown, I can't also put a finger on that one. He still gives it all, and he can still help someone out. He just, for some reason, has had a tough time fitting in on this Maple Leafs team this season.
2 years ago, he scored 20 goals, and he was in the top three lines. And, you know, probably Patrick Marleau coming is what moved him, or whatever, Kasperi Kapanen graduating and now Nylander arriving, you know, whatever it was. Although before there was JVR and, you know, guys like that there. But anyway, he seems more like a fourth-line guy in $2.3 million. Because that's, you know, that's facts. Salary caps are facts now. They are considerations. That's a little bit too much if you're going to be a fourth line guy.
7:47 of ice time tonight. So he was shut down quite a bit. Nick Patan at 7:47 be a Leaf for a day. He's actually been a Leaf for 2 days. And then you got Trevor Moore at 5:41. So the fourth line didn't see a ton of ice time. But I would love to see Tyler Ennis in that lineup against the Rangers and maybe Connor Brown. Just watching a game from up top. It might even spring him to better things.
And one thing about Connor Brown, he can skate. I mean, that's one thing that when they came up, this is a Leaf team that can really fly. It's really incredible, just almost seemingly overnight. Well, you know, whether it's the star players like Matthews and Marner, who you expect to skate, but then you got, you know, Hyman, who skating is a big part of his game, along with his grit and everything else, playmaking ability. And then Connor Brown on the fourth line can just fly. Andreas Janssen can fly because Perry Kapanen can fly.
They got speed up front, that's for sure. The slow part's the back end. I mean, there's some guys that aren't the fleetest of foot back there, and Hainsey and Hull and Muzzin and, you know, even Zaitsev and or Oshiganov. Like, they're not the quickest guys in the back end, but if they get the puck up to their forwards, which I think is a part of their game plan, they can be successful.
Well, the game tonight, we mentioned we'll hear from many of the players involved in the game tonight, many of the principals involved in tonight's game, and you made him the neutral zone spotlight player that we were keeping our eye on. And also he was the Ford dealer's keys to victory number one. And, you know, in a lot of ways he brought it upon himself. I thought Chris Johnston articulated it quite well about Garrett Sparks, that it's been a pretty uneven season for him. First career NHL game, he got a shutout a couple of years ago. He played phenomenal last year for the Toronto Marlies as they won the Calder Cup, which is great, but it's also the AHL, NHL. He's talking just to a scout, texting back and forth tonight. He's watching some American Hockey League games now and was saying, you know, it's funny, some guys you see just in general in the AHL and they don't project in the NHL. You know, there's always this assumption it's going to happen. So it's a battle.
And I've been hard on Garrett Sparks, and I think everybody in the Toronto media has, even the fans, because he has not been sparkling at all this season. But the other thing to his defense, Gord, is I think he's a guy with that needs to get in a rhythm. He's got to play a lot of games, and he's not a prototypical backup, you know what I mean? He He's like a Hasek. He doesn't have any style. So when he gets hot, it's his timing and everything falls into place. For a guy just to come in there every 10 games and play, I don't think it's ever going to benefit Garrett Sparks unless he's able to change his style, which I don't know this late in your career if that's possible.
Well, the real hard luck break was courtesy of William Nylander. I mean, he was going to get a string of games early January due to Anderson's injury, and Willie Nylander wires one off his face and enter Michael Hutchinson. And that really was Garrett Sparks' time to take it. The Leafs had been playing well. They actually went a bit in the dumper with Hutchinson there. It wasn't necessarily Hutchinson's fault, but did that. And that was unfortunate for Garrett Sparks not being able to play those games.
Yeah, that would have been a great time for him to get an opportunity. William Nylander, he seems to be in the middle of everything that's gone wrong this year with the Leafs. But yeah, Sparky, I think it'll only benefit him to play more games. I think it's all about timing for him.
Well, we'll take a break and we'll hear from Garrett Sparks and many of the other Leafs when we come back. They'll be in a much more positive mood. It was hard finding them the last couple of games when you have some losses, but they seem to be out in full force now. A 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
A 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. We talking to Chris Johnston in that. 9 games left. There's only one more back-to-back. So Sparks will get one game. But how many do you think you would get as far as how many starts would you give Sparks?
I think Chris is bang on. He'll get a back-to-back. There's one more, and then he'll get the last game of the season if everything is secured where they're going to finish. I think that's the best bet.
Yeah.
So unless Anderson wants that last game, I'm sure Babcock will go to Anderson and say, do you want this last game going into the playoffs, or would you rather have a night off? And we'll see what he says. But I'd imagine he'll have that last start.
Well, this then could be his second last start of the season, maybe his third last start of the season, maybe his fourth last start of the season. But after tonight's game, he ends up being the winning goaltender. They did outshoot the Buffalo Sabres 46-24. A so-so first goal caught wandering a little bit, but all in all, a solid performance under difficult circumstances for Garrett Sparks. Here he is after the 4-2 win.
What kind of night was it for you, Garrett? I mean, you make the save on them shorthanded, the blocker save as well in the second period to build confidence moving forward where most of the action, at least initially, was down the other way.
Yeah, it's always difficult when your team plays so well that they are shooting, you know, at a rapid pace and you're not seeing much action. So you just have to stay engaged and stay focused. And, you know, I had a lot of experience with that last year with the Marlies. We were a possession team, and there were stretches of time where I didn't see the puck that much. So it's something that I'm conditioned for, and I just want to be here for this team to make the saves when I need to make them.
Given the way things have gone lately, did you feel any extra pressure on your shoulders after the start tonight?
No, I think I actually felt less. You know, I just wanted to go out and play my game. I had a great morning skate in Nashville, and I just wanted to carry that momentum over to the game and play a little looser, a little more energetic. And, you know, I just let my game, you know, do the talking.
Is it just a mindset thing then to have the pressure not feel the same?
I don't know. It just comes with experience. You know, start after start, you know, you start to slowly gain an idea of what works and what doesn't.
So in the third period there, they started pressing a bit more. What did it look like from your perspective, some of those series?
Well, we played a hard game last night in Nashville, and we played a hard 3 periods here tonight. And, you know, I can't ask for much more than what the guys did in front of me tonight. They were super committed to, you know, protecting our zone and sacrificing when they had to make the right plays.
From your end of the ice, are you able to appreciate what Austin was doing at the other end and really setting the tone?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the last 2 games we've played have been way more like ourselves, and you know, I think that's what we need this time of year.
Oh, there we go. Garrett Sparks, kind of interesting. And any pressure that's put on him, he said no. Actually, he had his own little schedule going, and things were fine. And again, as we chatted about, though, it's a different kind of style. And when you're not used to it, it probably takes a little bit hard getting used to. People that saw it with the Toronto Marlies know it well and know it being incredibly effective as they won the Calder Cup last year. But you needed to win the game tonight, just small victories that way. And Garrett Sparks came up with the win for the Toronto Maple Leafs in goal tonight. He was our neutral zone spotlight player, and he struggled initially, but then pretty solid effort most of the way. When we come back, we will hear from many of the other players involved in tonight's game, including the first star Big Cactus, Austin Matthews, who came close to get the 20 minutes of ice time. But boy, oh boy, in a game where there's so many players on the Maple Leaf team brought it, every single player, all 18, had at least one shot on goal as the Leafs outshoot the Buffalo Sabres by a considerable margin, 46-24. And Matthews, though, just a man among boys in so many ways. So we'll hear from him, John Tavares as well. And, yeah, more of the guys tonight before they bus home from Buffalo, breathe a little bit, and then home sweet home Saturday against the New York Rangers. 4-2, the Toronto Maple Leafs defeat the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
There is joy in Leaf Nation tonight, a 4-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will replay all the goals, and excitement abounds when you've got Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph making the calls. You'll hear all those. We'll check in with our man Chris Johnston. We'll join us in Buffalo in the Sea of Blue. Mike Babcock will hear from the head coach as well, and much more coming up with Savvy and myself. But coming up now, let's hear from many of the principals, breathing a sigh of relief, positive questions, positive reflections on the game tonight. Big Cactus, Savvy was obsessed that he get the appropriate ice time. He only had 4 minutes, 37 seconds in the first period of play. He ends up with 19 minutes, 39 seconds, a goal, an assist, 2 points, plus two, 7 shots on net, the first star of the game. Austin Matthews, here he is after the 4-2 win.
Yeah, some dirty goals. I think just the way it's been going for us, you know, sometimes you just got to get to the net and it's going to go off a skate or go off a shin pad and fall there for you. So, I mean, that was obviously a really good bounce around that second and even the first one. So, little bounce that we needed tonight. But, I mean, I thought from start to finish we played really well and played a pretty complete game despite, giving up the first goal. I thought, I mean, the first two periods we were dominant, getting shots to net, and then we kind of let our foot off the gas a bit in the third, but we finished all strong. Yeah, I mean, it sucks losing. You never want to lose. And then obviously the little slump we've been in lately, it's frustrating for everybody. I mean, you try to stay positive, but obviously it's getting towards the end of the season and you want to make sure your game's kind of peaking at this point individually and as a team. So I think everybody was prepared tonight. Despite the back-to-back, everybody came out flying and we skated really well. And obviously, I mean, it's a big 2-point for us.
What was working so well for your line to have as much offense as all time? You guys manage?
I think just holding on to it down low and taking care of it in the neutral zone is pretty important for us, not turning it over, making sure that below the dots we're moving it. I think just finding each other in different areas, shooting the puck and getting it back was a pretty big key for all of us tonight and all four lines. So I thought we did really well tonight.
Was last night's game maybe more physical than tonight, but tonight seemed to be rather chippy?
Yeah, it gets chippy. I mean, I think anytime you play, this is obviously a rivalry game, it's a great atmosphere anytime you come into this rink. A lot of blue and white jerseys, and so it's fun to play in. For a player, as players, this is, you have to get up for these games. It's fun to be a part of.
Garrett had some long stretches without shots, but how do you think he managed in the third there? and I got a little bit more on it.
He played well. I mean, he came up with some big saves, and especially towards the end of the third period, 6-on-5, and he was just solid in that for us. So, I mean, I think that's all you can ask for from him. You know, he comes in, he's used to playing all the time, you know, last couple of years in the American League, and you know, just not being able to kind of get in a rhythm, it's tough, I can imagine, for goalies. And so he was big for us tonight in a game that you know, we felt was a must win.
The goal that really set up the Tavares goal, encouraging you to see that type of play from Willie more and more as the season ends out into the playoffs.
Yeah, just, I mean, his confidence is getting seems to get higher and higher every game. So I think we've kind of you know, I guess rekindled a bit of what we've had the first years of playing with each other. And then Johnny's, I mean, Johnny's just been unbelievable. He's, for how small he is, I mean, he's, he just shows no fear. He goes into corners and he battles hard. And, you know, I think that's all you can ask for from a guy like him. And he just competes every night, and it's fun to play with, as well as Willie. So I think, you know, us three, you know, we felt we had a good game tonight and controlled the play a lot of the time. So we just want to continue that.
Yeah, Austin Matthews after tonight's game. We'll hear from Johnny T in a second. Johnny Toronto. Mitch Marner, haven't heard from him for a couple of games. Another guy that was flying tonight. Had a goal. Two shots on net. 22 minutes, 30 seconds of ice time. He gets a little bit extra because he kills penalties as well. And here is Mitch Marner after the 4-2 win over Buffalo.
24 hours and just compare efforts in both games. Obviously very consistent, but you get the result you wanted here tonight. What might have been the difference, do you think?
I mean, you saw the shots. We had a lot of shots on net. We had guys there. We had a lot of great opportunities. And I think, defensively speaking, we didn't give up many odd man rushes, and we're coming back hard. And I think you're making it hard to get through our neutral zone. That's something that we got to just be consistent with.
What was different about the first period tonight and the way that you guys started from maybe previous games?
I mean, we were happy with how I played in Nashville. We wanted to start again fast. We wanted to get on them right away. I thought we did a very good job of that. We made it hard on them to get out of their zone, and I think all four lines played down low very well, played heavy with the puck, and I got the puck to the net. And that's, like I said, that's something we've been focused on recently and something we wanted to do better at. And, I think the last two games are something that we can take going forward and just, you know, keep working at it.
Do you think those two games that put last week in the rearview mirror that you've found more details in the game and been better defensively?
I just think it, you know, brings us back to our confidence we need. Brings us back to, I think we're the team, we know what we can be, and I think last week our confidence was a little low. We were giving up too many rushes, we were giving up too many chances. We kind of talked as a team, we sat down, and we realized, you know, if we're all working out how hard we can make teams, how hard we can make it on teams. I think, like I said, the last two games we've done a great job of that.
When Austin's as dominant as he was tonight, how does that kind of have a ripple effect on the rest of the roster?
Like I said, all four lines played well tonight. I thought we all played heavy down low, and we all had a lot of good chances.
How'd you think Garrett handled the third period? He didn't get a lot of action in the first two, but there were some chances against there.
Great, yeah. He made a couple big saves for us there, and that's a great team win for all of us. I mean, we all needed that, and something that, looking forward, that we can be happy with. Happy with all our efforts, happy with how we played, and make sure we bring it on to the next game.
You guys seem to be taking the pucks to the inside in the offensive zone, not staying on the perimeter. You got some greasy goals. Is that something that you're going to see at playoff time? Where, you know, I mean, there's no points for style.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of pretty goals in playoffs. So, like I said, I mean, this morning I was saying that we knew that we're going to have to get to the net. We're going to have to score some dirty goals, and I think tonight, I mean, we got a couple bounces that went our way and a couple ugly ones, but those are the ones that. They go on, they're going to be going forward. It's very helpful, and it's all because of guys at the net, and we got to just make sure we keep doing that and getting pucks to the net and not being afraid to go get there.
There we go, Mitch Marner, and let's hear from, by the way, can they be quiet there, packing everything up there, leaving to get back to Toronto? John Tavares, a stand-up guy all the time, one goal, one assist, 2 points, plus two, six shots on net, 19 minutes, 57 seconds of ice time, 41 goals. He's number three in the NHL in goals. First Leaf to get 41 goals since Matt Sundin did it 17 years ago back in 2002. Here's John Tavares.
Certainly, I think knowing the circumstances, we understood just try to make it difficult for them. And, we don't want to get caught chasing numbers, chasing bodies. So just stay above them and make them come 200 feet, make them have to really earn the ice, earn getting to the middle and coming into our zone. And obviously when we have an opportunity to sustain pressure in the offensive zone, we wanted to do that. We had it at times. And other than that, just good poise and staying with it. And overall, a really good win for us.
John, one of the things that's been plaguing the team is slow starts. You didn't get the first goal, but you're all over them. I think the shots were 13-2 in the first 7 minutes. Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think some of our habits, some of the positives really started to come back, I think, over practice on Monday. And I could see it last night, some better things and the way we were just on our toes and putting pressure on the opponent. And that's what we do well is when we're playing quick, we're executing good puck support all over the ice, and we're getting it up the ice quick and putting the opponents on tough in a tough spot. No time and space under pressure to make plays, and that allows us to have zone time, puck possession, and get quality chances on that. Well, he's playing great. I mean, I think you know, being around him every day, you understand what makes him a special hockey player, and you know, his ability just to stay on the puck. You know, track it down. When you think it's going the other way, his ability to just strip guys and then be able to obviously hang on to it, protect it, use his size, and so deceptive with either his shot or just finding the open man. So, yeah, he was a force for us today.
John, were you able to follow the bouncing puck on your goal, or were you just fortunate to have it end up there again?
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate on that one. You know, I've had really good opportunities the last 2 days, and it's funny how that's the one you get rewarded with. But I just tried to go to the net. I saw Willie obviously at good speed, and I heard it hit the crossbar, and then I didn't know where it went, and then I saw it bouncing, just came out of nowhere right in front of me. I thought the play might have been dead, so I just put it in, just hoping it was good, and happy it was.
What did you think of the net presence on those first three goals after a tough night last night to grind out the goals the way you did here this evening?
Yeah, I think their goalie was sharp early, and really all night. We put a lot of quality shots, a lot of quality chances on him, and we had some good second and third looks. He made some good saves, and I think just good sticking with it, staying patient, and knowing, especially with the type of skill set we have throughout our lineup and the way we're getting to the net and doing some of those things that we talk and preach about. Eventually we're going to get rewarded, and we did, and it was a good feeling for the group.
John Tavares, after the 4-2 win, we'll hear from Mike Babcock, the goal calls and much more coming up. A 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.